I wish everyone back here with us this evening. I invite you to be turning with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. From time to time, I enjoy doing character studies, taking a person of the Bible and looking into who they are, what made them do what they did and such. And tonight I want us to concentrate on one of the 12 apostles. I want us to look at James, the son of Zebedee. So I want you to begin reading with me in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. And let's look here, first of all, at the call of James. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them. And immediately, verse 22, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Friends, when we think of James the son of Zebedee, there are many different places that we could go to look at him and look at his character. We're going to visit a few of those tonight. But first of all, I want us to look here at this call. Look at the call of Jesus to James and how he answered that. Along with Andrew and Peter, along with his brother John, notice that when Jesus called, what did they do? Notice first, as we think of James, that he left his job, he left his family, he left earthly security. He forsook everything in order to follow the Christ. There was nothing that was going to hold him back. There was nothing that was going to keep him from following Jesus the Christ. Now friends, we'll later find out as we look at John anyway, being the brother of James, we would conclude, I believe, that he had the same connections that John had. But we see that John at least had some connections, didn't he? Because when Jesus was arrested, how else would he have been allowed into the high priest's home? And so I don't know how affluent they were, but in any case, he left everything behind. He didn't know he didn't know where he was going to get his next meal. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he left all of that. He left earthly security, he left his job, left his family to follow Jesus. You see the parallel count in Mark 1. 16 through 20. He would no longer be a fisherman as we know it. When you look at Matthew chapter 10, he is listed in verse 2 as one of the 12 apostles. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. And then the rest of the list there is given. Now turn over to Luke chapter 5 for a moment. Luke chapter 5. We're going to begin reading verse 1. Here's another account of the calling here of James. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, from now on you will catch me." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Again, friends, what you see here is James, here's John, here's Peter, here's Andrew. And immediately when they realize who Jesus is, do you see any hesitation on their part whatsoever? Again, notice verse 11. When they brought their boats to land, did they take time to clean the fish? Did they take time to take them to market? Did they take the time to wash the nets? Did they take time to properly clean their boats? What's it say? They forsook all and followed Him. You look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, talking there about faith. Hebrews 2, 3 and 4, talking about this cloud of witnesses also in Hebrews chapter 12. You look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14, all talking about the motivation for the following of Jesus Christ. Friends, what motivation do we have? You think about Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and what they were doing, and what caused them to leave everything, to forsake everything, and go after this man named Jesus. There had to be something about it. There had to be something that they had not seen before. They had been researching the scriptures and they saw that Jesus had, he is who he claims that he is. And friends, don't we have the same evidence today? Don't we have the ability to search the scriptures and to see that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God? Why would we not then do just as James had done? Why would we not leave everything that we needed to leave behind and go after Him? What's holding us back? What did Paul say concerning the weights of the world? He said, lay aside every weight and the sin that is so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us. James did just that. He left. He forsook everything. Now this would not be a character study if we did not really delve into the character of James, would it? I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Look at verse 17. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. Now, if we don't know the background for this, this really makes no sense. And Ashley's got a smile on her face because I jokingly, when we found out we were pregnant with Uriah, I said, I want to name him Boanerges. She didn't go for that, obviously. But if we need to go somewhere else. I want us to turn to Luke chapter 9. To get the context here of why Jesus gave them this name, let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. Look at verse 54 to begin. Actually, let's go all the way back up to verse 51. Look at the entirety of the context here. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Okay, so he's heading back toward Jerusalem. He's going toward his crucifixion at this point. He would not be turned aside. All right, and sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, all right, look at verse 54 and 55 now. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? And he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Verse 56, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. This is the account, this is the reason that Jesus named these two brothers Boanerges, or sons of thunder. They wanted to turn and call fire from the sky to destroy this village because they would not accept Christ. And of course, they got a very swift rebuke. What we see of James here is that at this particular point, we see anger out of control. But Jesus very quickly tells him, look again at verse 55, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. James, your thought process is not what it ought to be. You don't completely understand what you're dealing with and what we're about here. And so he's telling James, you've got to get this under control. Look at Romans 10 and verse 2 for a little reference here. Romans 10 and verse 2. This verse right here would describe James in this particular instance. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And now, in this particular context, Paul is talking about all of Israel. But this would fit directly in James's, and John for that matter, their case in this point. They had a zeal for Christ. They wanted to do right by Him, but they didn't fully understand Christ's mission. And so he tries to explain to them. But friends, it's that passion from James that I believe that led him to be one of Christ's inner circle. Because you see, with James, the son of Zebedee, he was one that was one of Jesus' closest friends. He was approximate to Christ in nearly every major event that we see recorded for us in his life. He was there by the side of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 31, who do you see with Jesus when Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law? It's Peter, James, and John. And the raising of Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5, who's there with him? Peter, James, and John. Who is there in Matthew chapter 17 as they are there on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, James, and John. He is there by Jesus' side at every turn. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 46, we see Jesus going into the Garden of Gethsemane. He's there preparing himself to be offered up on the cross. It's just hours away now. He takes his disciples with him, of course 11 at this time. Judas has gone to do what needed to be done concerning his betrayal. He takes the 11 with him, but 8 are left behind in a certain place of the garden, and then 3 go with him further into the garden. Who are they? Peter, James, and John. James is there by the side of Christ. Now it seems that he tried to play on that friendship that he had with Jesus at some point, because in Mark chapter 10, 35 to 45, we see James and John approaching Christ, and I find this interesting what they say. Let's turn to Mark 10. Go to verse 35. Now listen carefully to the words of James and John in verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, to Jesus, saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now friends, I want you to think about this for a minute. Did Jesus have riches? No. Jesus at one time says, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He didn't, in the sense that we know, he didn't have a home. You ever think about that, by the way? That for Jesus' earthly ministry, he was homeless. He went from place to place. He didn't have his own place. But in any case, here you have James and John. They come to Jesus. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now friends, to a degree, they're beginning at this point, I think, to understand who Jesus is. They're not completely there. They're still thinking on the physical side of it, as is evidenced here by their question. They don't completely understand what it is that Jesus is here to accomplish. But they're getting there because now they call him teacher, But friends, you don't ask a teacher here to do for you whatever it is that we want to do. Now, teacher, we can put here master. And rightfully so, we can also plug in here king. Who else but a king would have power to grant whatever it is that you ask? Listen to Jesus' response. He doesn't hesitate, does he? What do you want me to do for you? Verse 36. Verse 37, they said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. Let us be your chief advisors. Alright, verse 38, but Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Now they're pretty convicted. They said, we are able. So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. Verse 41, and when the 10 heard it, of course, they were jealous, they were displeased. Verse 42, but Jesus called them, okay, so he hears the discontent, right? And so he brings them together, and here's a teaching moment. This is what he says, but Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom many. Now here is James. He has aspirations for control. He wants to be like Joseph was to Pharaoh, okay? He wants to be that chief advisor. He wants to be the one that Jesus delegates his authority to, not fully understanding the concept of the kingdom of Christ. And so Jesus says for them, basically, beginning in verse 42, to put your aspirations of control aside, because those of you that want to rule, those of you that want to be first, you'll be slave of all. You are to be a servant. That's not at all what James had in mind, was it? James didn't want to be a servant. He wanted to be in control. Look what Jesus does, though. At the end of verse 39, he's going to amend, if you will, the character of James. You see, back in verse 38, are you able to drink the cup? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said, we are able. So Jesus says, okay, you will indeed. How would they suffer, by the way? Read Acts 4. What happens to the church? Read Acts 7, Acts 8. What happens to the church in Jerusalem? They're persecuted greatly. What happens to James, and we'll cover this a little bit more in a minute, but what happens to James in Acts chapter 12? He did indeed drink that cup. Was baptized with that baptism of suffering. And so we see James able then in courage. He is the only apostle, as I said in Acts chapter 12, there in verse 1. He is the only apostle whose martyrdom is recorded in Scripture for us. Beginning in verse 1, we read, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. Okay, so here we are in Acts 12 and verse 1, that he's going to, and the King James, he stretched out his hand to harass some, or certain of the church. Okay, his reach was targeted. He wasn't going for just the one that was just baptized yesterday. He wasn't going for just your run-of-the-mill preacher, so to speak, is he? Who's he after? Who's he targeting? He's targeting the 12. He's targeting, if you will, the ringleaders, as the Jews saw them. And so he takes James. Verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Notice verse 3. How did the Jews react to this? They were pleased. And how was James thought of? It seems that at this particular point, that James is even there on par with Peter. Because after he had killed James, who did he go after? He went after Peter. He went to seize Peter at that point. But the point here is, looking at James, he didn't run, he didn't flee, but rather he suffered himself to be killed for the furtherance of the gospel. He was able in courage. Friends, when we look at James, there are many different things that we can learn, but I want us to make some practical application before we run out of time. When Jesus came and he called James and John, the sons of Zebedee, to come and follow him, they immediately answered that call. There was no hesitation on their part. And friends, likewise, we must answer the call today. The gospel calls us to follow Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus offers an invitation, doesn't he? Beginning of verse 28, we read, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Friends, we must answer the call of Christ. We need to learn from James in that while he had trouble at the beginning as an apostle of Christ controlling himself, we learned that we must exercise self-control. James chapter 1, 18 through 21. We must keep our anger under control, shouldn't we? Isn't that what James says? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to write. Now, like James as well, we need to get close to Christ. Friends, how close are you to Jesus at this moment? When's the last time you asked yourself that question? When's the last time that you reflected upon that? In your walk with Christ, how close are you? Something for us there to consider, friends. You think about James as well, just like Peter, when Peter said that he would never deny Christ, that he was ready to go to prison, that he was ready to die. When Jesus asked James, "Can you drink that cup? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" What is his immediate answer? Was there any hesitation? Not at all. He says, "We are able. I can follow you no matter what. It doesn't matter what the world throws at me. It doesn't matter." James eventually said in Acts chapter 12, "It doesn't matter if you kill me. I will follow you." And friends, if we do that reflection and we're not close to Christ and we don't continually affirm our commitment to being a follower of Christ, then we need to amend our character as Jesus did with James. There are changes that need to be made. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. "Don't be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do we do that? It's right here. It's the gospel. That's it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. and verse 58. Listen to what Paul says to the Corinthian brethren. Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Friends, just like James was able in courage, we must be able in that as well. Regardless of the storms of life, regardless of whatever may happen, regardless of whatever it is that we're facing, we must stand firm upon the Word of God. Like James, friends, let us be close to Christ. Let's affirm our commitment. Let's amend our character when it's needed. Let's be able to encourage. Let's stand firm upon the Word of God. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're going to sing an invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, I want you to think for a minute. If you were living during the time of Christ, would you have been one that He had called? Would He have said to you, come follow me? Would you be able to, like James, do those things and be close to Him? Making that commitment. Amending your character as Jesus would mold you. And then when the time came, friends, stand firm upon the teachings that He gave. And friends, if you could answer and you say within yourself, yeah, I could have been that man. I could have been that person. I could have been James. And friends, why can't we do it today? Why not today be a follower of Christ? He calls you just like He called James. And it may mean that, like James, you have to leave some things behind. It may mean that whatever it is that's holding you back, that you have to cut ties. Whether it's family, friends, job, whatever it may be, whatever the world has to offer, friends, cut it off. Let Jesus be your guide. Be His disciple and His alone. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? If so, friends, what hinders you? Repent tonight of your sin. Confess Him before those here tonight and before the world as you leave here tonight. And be baptized. Immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Tonight, you can belong to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It may be that you're here and you have put Christ on in baptism, but for whatever reason, you've forsaken Him. Come home. Be His again. Hold close and hold firm and hold fast to the hand of Jesus. Stand firm upon His Word. Let your light shine before men that your Father in heaven may be glorified. Friend, would you do that tonight? Are you subject to the Lord's invitation? If so, come right now while we stand and while we sing.